The final freedom. You all remember the wonderful unfoldment of the court proceedings under the Bill in Equity filed by the Board of Trustees. The record of this case, as I have already said, was printed in full, making a book of over 1,500 pages, and it is the only case of moment that has ever been printed entirely in full. The Master, Judge Frederick Dodge, before whom the case was tried, found in his report the allegations of the trustees' bill to be true in every substantial, if not in every respect, and his rulings of law were in agreement with his findings of fact. This, however, could not stand, for freedom could not come to the Christian Scientist in the realm of church organization. Church organization, whether harmonious or discordant, can only end in intruding itself as a power or authority between man and his divine principle, and therefore must disappear. How was this to come about? Not with a decision that would have kept the trustees and that which they were standing for in the realm of organization. It could only come as and when freedom from organization was fully accomplished. So in the appeal from the Master's findings, while the Supreme Court of Massachusetts finally sustained every finding of fact in its interpretation of the law, it had to go contrary to the Master's findings of law. And why? Because the ecclesiastical body in Boston, called the Christian Science Board of Directors, had to be enthroned as the most supreme, autocratic, ecclesiastical body on earth. This was necessary in order that every Christian Scientist would sooner or later be brought face to face with the inevitable conclusion that such ecclesiastical authority had no relationship whatever to Christian Science. The finite belief of church organization is utterly foreign to Christian Science, and so far as the genuine Christian Scientist is concerned, it is gone forever. It is not possible to conceive of a Christian Scientist understanding that he is alone with his own being and with the reality of things, allowing for one moment that he must do as this one says or that one says, whether under the guise of a church authority or a so-called teacher or practitioner. It is essential for the individual's growth and progress that he shall look directly to principle and accept no authority but principle. Could anything other than this be Christian Science, or have any relationship to Christian Science? There is only one answer to that question, and that is, it could not. Man is one with his Maker, and that oneness can never be encroached upon. Could then the decision of the Supreme Court of Massachusetts have been different any more than could the decision of Pilate have been different? That does not, however, make evil good or wrong right. The pressure of truth will continually force evil to the point of its own extinction by being seen as merely the negative interpretation of reality. The decision of the Boston case is accomplishing this very result. Metaphysics was cast out, and with it the entire deception that church organization, whether called the Christian Science Church or any other church, could have anything to do even in the remotest way, with Christian Science. It was so entirely exposed that all could see the nature of the deception and no longer be in bondage to it. Freedom can never be obtained in anything, hence, in organization, there can be no freedom. The one and only organization that constitutes freedom is the organization of principle and its idea. And in this unity, the idea is the very activity of the principle. Thus we see evil utterly fail in its last two activities. First, in the World War, attempting to destroy the English language, the clothing of the young child. And the second, in the ecclesiastical attempt to destroy the true metaphysical interpretation of the teaching of Christian Science. As a consequence of this, a freedom has come to the Christian Scientist that endows him with the absolute knowledge and certainty that he cannot be and never is deprived of his direct communion with principle.